Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
When I say, can you dig it, put your two hands up like that. Can you dig it? Can.
Here we go.
What is up, everybody? You're listening to Can You Dig It, a podcast by Silver Screen and Roll, an SB Nation Lakers community. You can check us out at silverscreenandroll.com or on social at LakersSBN. My name is Christian Rivas, and I'm here with half of the social team, or should I say the better half, Mr. Grant Goldberg. Grant, how are you doing today, my friend?
Oh, stop. That you set the bar way too high. This is the first episode. This is, you know, the launching point, and you're going to go ahead and say that I'm the better half. We got to let it play out on the floor or the podcast floor, whatever you want to call it. But you know, I'm super excited to get this going. I'm super excited to be doing this podcast with you specifically, Christian, because I know we've been waiting to do this for a while. So hopefully we can deliver something good for everybody that's listening.
Definitely. And it should be noted that this is the first time we're doing this. This is the first ever episode of Can You Dig It? And I'm pretty excited. But we have a lot to talk about, so we can't talk about how excited we are too much. First off, the Lakers won their second game in a row after dropping three straight against the Denver Nuggets. And it was, for lack of a better word, of the fool of Lance. I mean, he led a fourth quarter run that basically put the Lakers in the best position they could to win. Grant, what do you feel? How do you feel? I know you're conflicted about Lance in Los Angeles, but these past two games have been a little hard to be a hater of Lance in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, especially nowadays in 2018, it's especially hard to separate whether it be the player from the person or the artist from the person. I mean, you got to enjoy when the Lakers are winning games, and you got to at least give credit to where credit is due when they win games. And in the past two nights, it's been Lance Stephenson putting it together. He had a near triple-double against the Phoenix Suns, and then he puts on this miraculous run during the fourth quarter against the Denver Nuggets to give them their first loss of the year. And so, yeah, credit where credit is due. Lance does have his antics on court, and then he has the infamous history off court, which if you don't know about that, I think you should look it up and read about it and make your full judgment on Lance Stephenson as a person. But yeah, it's always great to see Laker wins. I'm super excited. I think that the Lakers fed off the energy of Phil Mickelson being in the building as a sideline reporter, broadcaster. So I think we need him in the house every game from here on out, just so we can secure the Lakers the one seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and it definitely wasn't bad to have Kobe Bryant in the building either. You got Kobe Bryant, Yasiel Puig, which I know with how much he's struggled in the World Series so far, he doesn't have the highest opinion among Dodgers fans right now, but it was a star-studded crowd.
Puig can do no wrong in my eyes.
That is true.
I love Puig. He's probably my favorite player on the Dodgers. If you're just considering, you know, everything as a person, I love Puig so much. Yeah, it was a really star-studded crowd to build off your point. Floyd Mayweather was there, but I think too, when you're comparing lefties, in Phil Mickelson and Kobe Bryant, noted, I mean, most notably Kobe when he was shooting with his left hand when he hurt his right hand in New Orleans. You really gotta factor that in when you're comparing the two. But I mean, Phil, he's going up against Tiger later in this year, I think in November. So he's got to watch LeBron James to know what kind of greatness he needs to tap into to at least come close to Tiger. But anyways, this is a Lakers podcast. So
yeah,
you know, I'm going to bring it back. No, Christian, I wanted to know what was the biggest thing that you saw besides Lance Stephenson that contributed to the Lakers win?
Well, I think the other half, or I should say the other quarter of the meme team, has been phenomenal. And of course, I'm talking about JaVale McGee, who had 21 points tonight, which is a regular for him since he's joined the Lakers. And not just, you know, 21 points, 21 points on 62.5% shooting from the field. He blocked a shot. I mean, he's been, by all accounts, a very good center for the Lakers. And I don't think that's something, you know, Lakers fans expect him to fit well with the team because he runs the floor. He can make easy layups, dunks, but he's been like really, really good. And I'm blown away, especially for the veterans minimum for what the Lakers got him. He's outplayed his contract in the first few games.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, and the national narrative on JaVale McGee is the Shaqton player, the player that just really can't seem to get things right, gets in his own way, but he's really had a good few years. He had a couple of years with the Warriors, had great success there, didn't play very many minutes, but he's getting the opportunity in Los Angeles. And I kind of made this point jokingly, on Silver Screen Roll's Twitter feed, but you know, he could actually be a legitimate contender for the most improved player. And we saw the same thing kind of, and this is comparing two different players and two different points in their career, but with CJ McCollum, he was always good for Portland, but you know, 1 year he just got the opportunity, he got the minutes, and we saw this sort of meteoric rise for McCollum. Now, I'm not saying it's the same meteoric rise for McGee, but we're seeing him get the opportunity. We're seeing the fit come together, and it's coming together in a season where he's 30 years old, and he has this perception of just a kind of joker of a player, but you know, he takes the game seriously. He works hard. He's a good guy off the court. He's an easy guy to root for, and you know, it's just making this Lakers season all the better, and especially when they're winning, and he's a big part of that.
Yeah, and I think to put into context how phenomenal JaVale McGee's been, he's averaging 17.2 points through five games in only 25 minutes per game. And he's also, you know, contributing seven rebounds, 2.8 blocks per game. Small sample size, only five games. But, I mean, to put it into even more context, his per 36 minutes are off the charts right now. I mean, they're borderline what we were seeing from Julius Randle last season and the season before, where he's putting up 24.4 points, 9.9 rebounds, a steal, four blocks per game per 36 minutes. I mean, he's been awesome. And you know, like you said, for somebody that's had this unfair national narrative surrounding him for many years in his career, it's really, really nice to see him blossoming, for lack of a better word, or just coming into his own on a team filled with playmakers, one of them being LeBron James, of course. And LeBron got his first triple-double in a Lakers uniform on Thursday, and it was really only a matter of time, right, Grant?
It took us a whole 7.5 minutes in our first show to bring up LeBron James. Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah,
we started off the show talking about Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee, but no, LeBron James is as incredible as advertised. Just seeing him, it's completely different in the regular season from the preseason. Obviously, you see these just spectacular plays, the plays that he makes look so easy, and everything, just the game is so slowed down to him compared to, you know, these younger players who try to play fast and try not to make mistakes and therefore make mistakes. And so we're seeing LeBron have this influence on the team where it's sort of a calming influential playing style where we're seeing players slow down, let the plays come to them, and let LeBron make things happen. And you know, that's just, you know, from a mental aspect, LeBron is just such a physically dominant player. And we saw that tonight. We saw that on the boards. We saw him getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, and dishing the ball out, like I was saying, when his players do get into the right spots. And he should have had a few more assists tonight with Jonathan Williams and Kyle Kuzma both missing layups. But yeah, I can't say enough great things about LeBron James on and off the court. We can go for a full hour and we still wouldn't run out of things to talk about with LeBron James.
Absolutely. And I think you mentioned Kyle Kuzma missing a few bunnies at the rim, but Kuzma, by all accounts, since entering the starting lineup, has looked really good playing next to LeBron James. And I think that's probably going to cause a problem when Brandon Ingram and Rajon Rondo get back, right?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, Ingram is a player who, you know, operates with the ball a little more in his hands, and same case, even more so with Rondo. I think Rondo does get relegated to the bench. Luke has a penchant for letting the hot hand, you know, ride it out, and Lonzo's playing well. The team is winning games, and I don't think they want to mess with that too much. And so I think we're going to see some funky lineups. And JaVale McGee's making it harder than it seems, because, you know, if you ask me, even during the preseason, during training camp, what I think the lineup should be, I would have said probably Lonzo, Hart, Kuzma, or Ingram, Kuzma, LeBron. But JaVale's worked his way into the rotation, and I think either one of Josh Hart or Kyle Kuzma gets moved to the bench when Brandon Ingram comes back. But I do think Luke makes more of a concerned effort to get Kuz onto the floor with LeBron, given their great fit and how well they're playing together.
Yeah, and I think the best way to do that, probably, if I was Luke Walton, which that doesn't sound like a bad life, being head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, making millions of dollars a year.
Being a pretty handsome guy, too.
Yeah, and he, I'll go on record on this podcast right now and say he's easily the best looking coach in the NBA by like a lot. I think Brad Stevens, because he's also a young guy, is probably in that conversation as well. But Luke takes it home. If there was a fan voted or media voted NBA award for best looking coach, Luke takes it every year.
I was gonna chip in. I was trying to think of something to say right there, but for right now, I'll go on board and say that's indisputable.
Yeah. So if I was Luke Walton, I think I can make an argument for about seven guys on the roster for a starting spot, which is a good spot to be in as a coach because you want a deep team. So for me, that would be Lonzo Ball, Rajon Rondo, Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, JaVale McGee, and of course LeBron James. But of the guys I think would make most sense moving to the bench going forward are probably Rondo and Kuzma. And I say Kuzma because Kuzma, with the exception of Lonzo, I think Kuzma has benefited most from getting more reps with LeBron. I mean, he just looks like a natural fit next to LeBron. And a lot of people expected this. A lot of people expected Kuzma to, you know, emerge as the natural number two option to Kuzma, because LeBron, historically speaking, has played well with players that can, one, shoot the ball, and two, space the floor at the four position, with LeBron playing the three with Brandon Ingram out. So, but the reason I say Kuzma moves to the bench is because, like we said earlier in the show, JaVale McGee's only playing close to 23, 25 minutes a night. So if you get JaVale as the first guy off the bench, you get Kuzma with the starters, you know, almost as if he was a starter. And I think that beyond Kuzma moving to bench, the Lonzo Rondo matchup for the starting position, I think, just gets farther and farther away as each game Lonzo gets more reps and looks more comfortable out there. But I think Kuzma and Rondo are the two guys right now I'd feel comfortable moving to the bench. But it's definitely going to be really, really hard on Luke when he comes back.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll build on to your Kuz point going to the bench. And it's not a knock on Kuz at all, pushing him to the bench. It's a role that we've seen him succeed in before. But, you know, and to provide a counter argument to my current argument about moving him to the bench is that, you know, he's playing so well in the starting lineup that, like I said earlier, Luke just may want to ride it out. And I know that may cause a rift, you know, amongst basketball circles, but, you know, it's working for the Lakers. And so I don't know if he messes with that too much. I think it'll take another, you know, game or two to know if it's, you know, sustainable and it's for real. But as of right now, Kuz is just such a fluid fit. He runs the floor. He's really active off ball, which I like for his fit, not only with LeBron, but with Lonzo and potentially Rajon Rondo when he comes back. And so, you know, Kuz is just a good fit for this team, this playmaker-centric team, being such a fluid scorer with his play, with his footwork, with the way he runs the floor when he tries to find open spots with his cuts. I think he's just the easiest fit, the easiest guy to plug and play with different lineups. And that's why it's so easy to move him to the bench to play with the second unit or keep him in the starting lineup.
So let's go with the assumption that, which I don't think is a bad argument at all, that Luke rides this out. Luke looks at the team that's playing right now and saying, okay, well, we've won two games with you. I might as well ride it out until it stops working. If Kuzma stays in the starting lineup, who moves to the bench and what does that look like?
Ooh, I think even maybe they move Josh Hart back to the bench, and which sucks to say because he's playing as well as anybody not named LeBron James on the Lakers. And they put in Brandon Ingram and kind of make him the de facto point guard. They do like, you know, having multiple playmakers in the lineup. They'd have LeBron James, they'd have Lonzo Ball, but just another guy who can push the ball up the floor. But in Brandon Ingram, a guy who can provide length, can provide defense, and just another element to the Lakers lineup with the tools that he has. It's a really tough decision, and like I said, it's a good spot for Luke to be in, but also a really tough spot trying to figure out, you know, where to fit these guys in when they come back in Ingram and Rondo.
I actually really, really like the idea of Ingram playing the de facto point guard in the first unit, because you've seen how well Lonzo can play off ball, even in his limited minutes with Rajon Rondo, but also at UCLA with Aaron Holiday. He did that really well. And I think we've seen throughout his career, Brandon Ingram is probably at his best when he's playing that de facto point guard position. So I really like that idea. It's kind of similar to what Philly's experimenting with Simmons and Fultz in the backcourt right now, where Fultz obviously looks more comfortable playing the point guard position, but he can play the two. Lonzo especially can pick up twos. Not that I think he would in a lineup where Brandon Ingram, who, you know, his wingspan is super long. I mean, he's a very long player because I can't think of any other way to describe him. But I think in a lineup where you have Ingram running the point, Zoe at the two, LeBron at the three, I would love to see that. And I think Luke should strongly consider it for sure.
Yeah, and if I can take a moment, can we create our first hashtag for the show? I'm going to go on a limb and just say hashtag Lonzo better than Fultz. I mean, so we're just going to ride this Lonzo better thing out. It's kind of similar to the Justice better and the Steph better of NBA Twitter circles, but I think we should ride out this hashtag Lonzo better thing. I think it'll work for us.
Absolutely. And are we wrong?
We only provide facts on this Can You Dig It podcast.
Exactly. I agree. I cannot argue with you, not only because it would be bad for our show, but also because I agree with you completely. Through the first five games, who has been the best player on the Lakers?
Ooh, I mean, I feel like there has to be an asterisk on it because, you know, at any given time on the floor, LeBron's the best player, but
absolutely.
I'm going to put a quantifier on it, and so I'm going to say not LeBron James and kind of factor in expectations coming into the season. And so doing that, I mean, JaVale would be an obvious answer, but since we, you know, spent such a good amount of time talking about him, I'm going to go with our guy, Josh Hart, Josh Barkley, Jason Hart, you know, whatever you want to call him. You know, he's just been spectacular. I think that he, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, has been such a great player for the Lakers. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, his post defense, you know, I wouldn't say that it's, you know, revolutionary, but, you know, I'm running out of other terms to describe it. But, you know, he's been a great fit with LeBron. And I think that's what's most important for this team. Guys, you know, how they look with LeBron on this floor. You can look at it on paper all you want, but when they step on the floor, you know, that's really what we're going to see, and we're going to see, you know, how they mesh truly. You can assume JaVale McGee is going to be a good fit, but, you know, he's actually proving that he's a good fit. Brandon Ingram's been a little bit of a clunky fit with LeBron. Kyle Kuzma's been the opposite. And so Josh Hart, you know, in my mind, you know, I wasn't totally sure how he was going to mesh with LeBron, but, you know, he plays super hard. He runs the floor. He makes cuts. He plays defense, you know, although he has some happy feet. But he gets to the rim relentlessly. And I think not only does he, you know, fit well with LeBron in that sense, because LeBron can just distribute the ball to him and good stuff will happen, but I think he earns LeBron's respect and Luke Walton's respect, especially after he, you know, vouches for him in a post-game press conference where he absolutely berates the refs. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with Josh Hart as a guy who's played the best for the Lakers this season that's not named LeBron James.
And that was the big lineup change Luke Walton made this week, is moving Kentavious Caldwell-Pope from the lineup in favor of Josh Hart. And I think, yeah, Josh has gotten off to a phenomenal start to the season. He looks better than the player we saw last season, and he looks more like the player that won MVP at Summer League. The thing with Hart that I've been a little disappointed by is his perimeter defense. I mean, compared to last season, he's really taken a step back in that regard. But the reason he's in the lineup and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope isn't is because how phenomenal he's been on the offensive end. I mean, KCP, and I like KCP. I think he earned almost every penny of the contract the Lakers gave him this summer. Plus, he gave us an inside, an inside lane to LeBron James through Rich Paul. But I mean, beside the fact, for the second half of last season, he was one of the Lakers' most reliable players. So I like him. I hope he gets out of a shooting slump sooner rather than later. But until then, he's also been pretty bad on the defensive end. So if he can't shoot and he can't defend, you're going to go with the guy that can do at least one of them. And Hart's been very good on that end. He's averaging 15.6 points on 50% shooting from the field and 44.8% from the three-point range. Yes, exactly. Finger kisses. You can't see a finger kiss through a podcast,
yeah,
but I am doing a finger kiss.
Chef's
beautiful.
Kiss.
Absolutely. Wow.
But yeah, as good as Josh Hart has been, I think KCB's been bad. I was on board with the contract that he got this offseason. I was a big fan of his when he wasn't in jail last season. Clearly,
which is such a weird qualifier, by the way, when he wasn't in jail.
Yeah, no, but he was good. I think for the most part, he was underrated last year. He definitely filled he filled the shoes that he had coming into Los Angeles. The reputation was that, you know, he played defense and he hit threes, and he did just that in any non-December month for the Lakers. And so, you know, we had kind of bigger expectations for him this year. You know, he's the 3-and-D guy you want with LeBron, and he's not really filled that. And Josh Hart stepped up, and I think, too, you know, one of the contributing factors to his step back on defense is the load that he's carrying on offense. You know, he's being asked to do more. He's creating more. He's, you know, definitely getting to the rim more. He's playing a very physical game when you're talking about him on the offensive side of the ball. And so, you know, that takes a toll on you. And, you know, he definitely puts in the effort on defense. But, you know, when you're taking those hits at the rim and when you're, you know, expending so much effort offensively, you know, that definitely takes away from, you know, what you can contribute on the defensive side of the floor.
And that's a great point. And I think, you know, as the season goes on, maybe he gets used to, you know, carrying that dual load. But he's definitely being asked to do more this year offensively than he was last season. My thing with Josh Hart, and the reason I really like the move by Luke Walton, is that my opinion has always been, if you're going to start Josh Hart, you also have to start Lonzo Ball. Because and I think Luke shares the same mentality, because Rajon Rondo and Kentavious Caldwell Pope were in the starting lineup. Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart were coming off of the bench. And I think they're a very good fit together. No matter what the Lakers do, whether they, you know, go with Rondo and KCP in the starting lineup when they're both, or when Rondo's back on Saturday, whatever he does, I think Lonzo and Hart need to be on the floor as much as they can together. And Rondo and KCP complement each other better, whether they're starting or coming off the bench. That's just a better backcourt duo. And, you know, whether or not you agree with the personnel decisions Luke Walton's made, you know, through the first five games, I think that awareness that the pairings of Lonzo and Hart or Rondo and KCP, I think that's something he's done really well in trying to stay together. You can argue his methods of keeping them together, but I think that's a really good observation by Luke.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, when you have both Lonzo and Josh Hart on the floor at the same time together, you're maximizing the amount of talent that you have in your backcourt. But in those two guys, Lonzo and Josh Hart, those are two guys that you can play, you know, interchangeably with Rajon Rondo at the same time. And you can play Lonzo with KCP. You can play, you know, Josh Hart and Rondo by themselves. And I think that, you know, they have a game that they can tailor it to who they're playing with in that backcourt. And I think, you know, I'll talk about Lonzo for a little bit right now, since we shifted the conversation just a tad bit. You know, with his shooting and with how confident he looks with the ball in his hands, he's making, you know, that backcourt pairing with whoever it may be that much more fluid. I think this is a big comparison, but when you look last year in the playoffs at Rondo and Drew Holiday and that same Pelicans backcourt together, that defensively, you know, that was just I'm blanking on the word. But it was just such a big challenge for opposing backcourts, namely a Portland backcourt that I'm not going to name. but you know, they you know, put teams to the ringer defensively, and Drew last year was obviously, you know, more adept on the offensive end than Lonzo was last year. But we're seeing the step forward this year for Lonzo, you know, at the rim, shooting the ball. And so he's posing more of a threat, and he's therefore allowing, you know, the opportunity to play him next to Rondo, who, you know, doesn't have that shooting ability really. And, you know, he's more of a pure creator, gets the rim and finds guys. And so you're seeing Lonzo being able to score and therefore just being a better fit with whoever he plays with. He's making it a better fit with LeBron. We're seeing that pairing get better game by game. And, you know, it's making for really, really exciting ball for the Lakers.
Yeah, and to your point, like, we'd be remiss to not mention how good and essential Lonzo was to the Lakers win against Denver on Thursday, because not even just his court vision, because his court vision is phenomenal. We all knew that. That was a scouting report on him going into the league. But his instincts on both ends of the floor are just so good that last year you could look past his shooting and say like, but he can do everything else and anything else you want him on the anything else you want him to do on the floor, he can do. But this year, you don't have to do that. I mean, he's shooting 40% from three this year through five games. I don't know if that'll hold, but he definitely looks more confident shooting. I mean, he got ISO'd on Nikola Jokic during the game. He wanted that shot. He sized up Jokic, took a step back and drained it in his face. And there were very few times we saw that from Lonzo last season. San Antonio is one of the games I can think where he just absolutely took over. But I mean, yeah, definitely. But I think that confidence, and he said so himself, that the difference between this season and last season so far has just been how confident he's been. And we've seen, you know, more pull-ups from him, more catch and shoots without hesitation. I mean, it's more than anything, I think confidence is going to be a big thing with Lonzo, and he's on the right track. I'm very excited to see what he does this season. He's another guy, though, that has been, you know, he's been good on defense, but he wasn't as good as what he was last season. And I wonder if that has anything to do with the muscle he's packed on, that he packed on over the summer, and the fact that, you know, he didn't get a whole ton of conditioning done during the summer because he was out with that knee injury.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different factors that can go into it too. I think I'll go with the, you know, fact that he couldn't really condition like, you know, NBA players do in the do ramping it up in training camp, and he missed some time. And he's had to face James Harden. He's had to face a good backcourt in the Denver Nuggets and San Antonio with DeMar DeRozan. And so, you know, there's going to be more opportunities, I think, for him to show out a little more defensively. But it's the little things, too, with him. You know, just the placement of the hands, where to be on the court. I think that, you know, yeah, you said it yourself, the instincts that he has, those are just special. Those are intangibles that, you know, not every player has. And so, you know, we're lucky to see that in Lonzo. And his court vision's always phenomenal. His decision-making tonight was great. We saw him, you know when to shoot the ball. He was a little hesitant to shoot it and put it up in the first half, but we saw a different player in the second half. And just his decision making, his effort tonight, he was fighting on the boards, he was diving for loose balls, keeping plays alive, and therefore, you know, helping the Lakers win. It's gonna take plays just like that for the Lakers to win. If anything that we've seen early on this season is true, in all of these close games, the Lakers have played really tough, and they've lost a couple games by 9 points or so. But, you know, those games are tough, where those teams pull away at the end. And I forgot to mention, he faced CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard in the first game. And so there's going to definitely be, you know, some times where Lonzo looks better on defense than he has, but it's definitely harder for him, I think, you know, personally, having had to condition and come back from knee injuries myself, to, you know, kind of reach that form where you were in the prior time before your knee injury. And so I think that injury specifically, actually, he tore his meniscus. I tore my meniscus a few times. And so, you know, just like Lonzo Ball, you know, I know it's tough to come back and be the kind of generational talent that you've been in at least some aspects of your game.
Yeah, and there are definitely no days off in the NBA when it comes to backcourts. I mean, even on Thursday against the Nuggets, he had Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, who, you know, aren't going to get any all-star votes, but they're a solid backcourt. So Lonzo's definitely had his work cut out for him. Saturday, the Lakers will take on the San Antonio Spurs again. They lost an absolute heartbreaker to them on Monday in overtime after LeBron James sent the crowd into a frenzy at home. It was a very exciting game, and I was so sad it had to end in a loss. But in order to get a win on Saturday, what do the Lakers have to do?
I think they just have to not really mess with things that are going on right now. Kyle Kuzma's playing out of his mind. Keep him in the lineup. Lonzo Ball is playing the best basketball that we've seen him play this year. And so, you know, don't mess with that. So I think the message that I'd have is just stay the course, let things flow. LeBron's playing well, JaVale's playing well, and just you know, keep that same effort that you're putting out, you know, just like tonight, you know, put it out on Saturday night against the Spurs. I think that it's going to be a very interesting game mentally and seeing how they come back against that same team. I wonder if they, you know, try to flip that switch and just try to dominate from the first whistle. But if, you know, if, like I said earlier, if any of these few games that they've played already have, you know, kind of set the precedent for them, it's going to be another close one. So I think, you know, a lot more of those effort plays will, you know, will shift things in the right direction for the Lakers against the Spurs this time around.
And hopefully the game, I mean, not to get on my Luke Walton for a little bit, but hopefully the game is a little better officiated than it was on Monday, because, man, that was a little tough to watch. Every time LaMarcus Aldridge breathed, he was at the line. So that'll definitely be interesting to watch. Grant, this was a ton of fun. I look forward to doing this with you more in the future. But for our first show, I think we're off to a great start, and I hope you guys like it too.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead, go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. Let us know what you think about the show. Let us know what you guys want to hear. We're still in the very, very early stages. We're taking baby steps to get better. But if you guys have a suggestion or you guys like something that you're hearing, go ahead, let us know, because, you know, the feedback's really important, especially at this early stage in the show, before we get stuck in our habits. You can follow both of us on Twitter. I'm at Grant Goldberg, and Christian's at Rad Rivas. And you can follow Silver Screen and Roll at Lakers SBN. And so take advantage of that. We're super accessible guys. You can always reach out to us and ask some questions and just talk about the Lakers, and we'll, you know, do our best to respond. But we always appreciate when we get feedback, whether it's in a 5-star review that you should definitely leave, or if it's on twitter.com.
Definitely. And until then, we'll see you guys next time.